Today is an International Day of Prayer for the Unreached. And it coincides with Pentecost Sunday. I'm going to talk a little bit about what Pentecost means. Obviously, today you guys can grab a hold of the idea of International Day of Prayer, but what does it mean when we say unreached? What do we mean by unreached? When we say that, we're talking about those in our world today that wouldn't typically have access to the message of Jesus, have access to a Bible, have access to people telling them about Jesus. And that makes up about 3 billion people, actually over 3 billion people on our planet. 40% of the world's population can't really do what we're doing today. So it's a big deal. There are multiple barriers that keep them from being able to do this, being able to hear the message of Jesus. Some of them are cultural. Some of those barriers are political. And some of those barriers are religious. Some in our culture today would say, why are you talking about this? Shouldn't we just leave them alone as they are? They're fine. The problem that we have as Christians is that we believe that we are not fine without Jesus. That he was God in the flesh that came down to earth to reveal God's heart to us. And he gives us life. And that life is so important that we believe that everyone around the world should have it. In fact, Jesus believed that they should have it. And so that is what we're talking about today. In John chapter 20, verses 21, Jesus said this. He had risen from the grave, and he was with his disciples, and he said this, peace be with you. You know what Jesus, when he encounters you, that's what he'd say to you. He'd say, peace be with you. He said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus came down, sent from the Heavenly Father, and he came with a mission. And he lived that mission out. But then as he left and ascended to heaven, he looked at his followers and he said, in the same way that God the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. You have a mission. And he says, it's all over the world for every people, tribe, and nation. No matter where you are, I want you to take my message to them. And that's what motivates us. What is that mission? If Jesus had a mission and then he's sending us out on a mission, what is that mission for us? I think it's important for us to talk about that because we can talk about being mission sent, but we need to understand what that is. It starts right back at creation. When we see God's beauty, his purpose, and evidence of God's design around us, we know that God created a good world at the beginning. And when he created this good world, everything could fit together in harmony. God made each of us people with purpose from the beginning. And that purpose was to know God and to help him take care of the world that he had created. That was God's design from the beginning. He made each of us to know him. In fact, God's heart from the beginning is that heaven and earth would intersect. When we read that story of the Garden of Eden in the very front of your Bible, in the book of Genesis, this idea of not heaven up here and earth down here, but actually the idea of Eden was that heaven and earth would intersect together. That God would live with us and dwell with us and know us. So what went wrong? Well, life doesn't work well when we ignore God and his desire for our lives. Humanity decided to do things their own way. Say, God, I know this is your design and this is your purpose, but I want to do my own thing. I want to go in my own direction. And in the Bible, this is called sin. We sin as people. It's not just people from the past, but it's us today when we go our own way and we distort God's original design. Unfortunately for all of us, We have gone our own way and we become separated from God. We became separated from this Eden, heaven and earth together experience. And we experience death away from God. Sin leads us to a place of brokenness. We see this all around us. When we talk about a beautiful world, we are able to look outside in a place like Kamloops or so many places around the world and go, man, it's beautiful. But at the same time, we all look out in the world today and we experience and we know its brokenness, don't we? If you're a human being that's lived long enough, you know when you look into the world, you're like, it's not perfect. It's incredibly broken. And we begin to look for a way out. We begin to look for a way to improve. We go in all sorts of different directions trying to find what will make a difference, something that will change this brokenness that we live in. And that is where the good news, the message of Jesus comes in. We need a remedy for this brokenness that we live in. And because of his love, God sent Jesus, God in the flesh, to show us a new way to be human. Jesus came to rescue us, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He talked about the kingdom of God. He lived out the kingdom of God. He sent his followers out to live out that kingdom. But ultimately, he ended up dying on the cross, taking our brokenness, our shame, our sin upon himself, and was paid for on the cross. But he defeated that. He rose from the grave in a new body. Jesus shows us a way back to God, a way to a new life. And simply hearing this message isn't enough. We need to believe, we need to trust, we need to follow Jesus. When we realize our brokenness, when we realize that Jesus is the solution to that, it changes everything within us. We don't have the power to escape the brokenness on our own. We need to be rescued, guys. You know, in our world today, we talk about rescuing ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've lived on this planet long enough to know that I am weak. We talk about being strong all the time. I see it on the internet. I see it on social media. This idea of building yourself up and having strength within yourself. But oftentimes I see that there's a lack of truth in that. When we're truly honest with ourselves, we recognize our own weaknesses. We know we need something outside of ourselves. That there's a God that wants to come and wants to heal. He wants to come inside of you and he wants to make you strong. Not because you're strong in and of yourself, it's because he is strong. And we need that. And God restores us. He recovers our relationship with him. Through Jesus, we begin to discover meaning and purpose in a broken world. Now we can pursue his design in all of our lives. Sometimes as we pursue his design, we fall and we make mistakes, but we recognize that there's still a way back to God. There's still forgiveness. There's still restoration. And the Holy Spirit comes and he comes and lives in us. It's the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God that comes and his presence is in us. It empowers us to live this new life for him. It assures us of his presence with us now and into eternity. It also empowers us to live out this life and to live out this mission that Jesus called us to bring this good news to the rest of the world. We look forward to the day when Jesus returns and heaven and earth are united together again, because it's happening. We look forward to that day. But until that day comes, we live out his kingdom. We believe in him. We trust in him. And we allow him to change us so that we can live out his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So as he sends his disciples out, he did this. In John 20, verses 22 to 23, it says this. It says, then he, referring to Jesus, it says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What's going on here? Can you imagine someone coming up to you and breathing on you? It's like, whoa, personal space. The idea behind this is if you actually go all the way back, I believe, to the book of Genesis, and he creates humanity, it says that God breathed the breath of life into us, humans, and we became alive. So here you have God in the flesh interacting with his followers, and he breathes on them. A new breath. The Spirit of God that's going to come inside of them and animate them and live within them. And then he says, now I want you to go out and I want you to live my kingdom. He says, if you forgive anyone's sins, what did Jesus do? He forgave people's sins. He's like, I'm going to send you out. I have a mission for you. As he says, as he talks this idea about forgiving of sins, I believe what Jesus is saying is, you saw me live this out. Now I'm placing the authority upon you to live this out. Go and do it. Do you know that you are God's agents? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are God's agents to go out into the world and live out and give that forgiveness to people. People need that. People need that song about being set free from shame and sin. And he's like, go out and do that. Breathe the breath of life on people. Breathe God's grace upon people. Let them know that they are forgiven. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. It's not about condemnation and judgment. It's about bringing God's forgiveness to a broken and dying world. This leads us to today. Today is Pentecost. If you wonder what Pentecost is, Pentecost was a celebration 50 days after Passover. It was a harvest festival where they were celebrating the harvest. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven. Let me try that again. There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Man, I can't plan when this happens to me. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire. Appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Now, verse 9 and 10 talk about all those languages. I'm not going to read that today. And then it says in 11, it says, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages and the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. What can this mean? They saw this like crazy supernatural event. What can this mean? I think when we look at that event today, we still have to ask ourselves, what does this mean? He told them to wait, and so they did. They waited, and they prayed, and this is what happened. There was this incredible wind, and there was this fire above people's heads. What does this mean? Well, in the Old Testament, the scriptures that were written before Jesus came, fire and wind represented the Spirit of God. It represented the presence of God. If you know the stories of Moses and the people of Israel, you have this experience of Moses before the Exodus. He's out, he's a shepherd, he's in the desert, and he's tending the sheep. And all of a sudden, at the foot of this mountain, he sees a bush, and it's burning, and it's on fire. But the bush isn't burning up. And he goes and checks it out. What's happening to this bush? And the voice of God comes out and speaks to him. And he experiences the presence of God, and it's shown by this fire. And in that, he's called out into a mission. Moses, I have a purpose for you. I have a mission for you. I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to set my people free from slavery. It was represented by this fire. So Moses goes back to Egypt. And they experience the Exodus, and they come out of slavery, and they go through the Red Sea, and they end up back at this same mountain. And Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai, and he receives the law. He receives the Ten Commandments. And as he's doing that, the people of Israel, they see this fire up on the mountain, the presence of God. And he receives the law, and he comes down, and they end up building this tent. It's called a tabernacle. God was like, wherever you go, wherever you travel, take this tent with you. It's going to represent my presence. And so they put this tent in the middle of their camp. And the presence of God was there. And when God came down and filled that tabernacle, there was a fire above it, representing his presence. And so here we get to Pentecost, and there's a fire, again, God's presence. But it's not in a bush. It's not on a mountain. It's not in a tabernacle. It's not in a geographic location. It's not in a building that's been built. This fire, this presence of God, is over top of people. It's in people. And there's a message that is being sent in this, that you don't have to go to a specific location to experience the presence of God. You don't have to build a special building to experience the presence of God. My presence is going to be with you and in you. No matter where you go. If you're a follower of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's coming living inside of you, man, no matter where you go, no matter where you travel, that presence is going there with you. And you can walk that out in confidence. It's spectacular. This fire, this wind. God's presence in people. God's fire shines with power and it ignites a cosmic revolution in the church. God now dwells within the community of Jesus followers. And in this experience, they are now all speaking, some translations would say speaking in tongues. Another translation I just read said speaking in different languages. They're speaking in all sorts of different languages. They come from Galilee, a very specific geographic location, but there are people in the day of Pentecost that have come from all over the known world, and they speak all sorts of different languages. And now these people are praying and worshiping, and they're speaking in different languages. Why? What is God communicating? They're hearing the good news of Jesus in languages from all over the world. God's kingdom is not with a specific people group anymore, within a specific ethnicity, within a specific language. It's meant to spread all over the world to every person, ethnic group, language group. This is meant to spread. And God starts it off right. He says, man, right from the beginning, I'm going to build my church, and there's going to be people from all over the world that are going to hear the message and the praises of God in their own language. Because God's heart is for the world. When I read that scripture about the day of Pentecost, and it said, what does this mean? What does this mean? This occurrence represents three things I want to show to you guys today that we've just talked about. The temple of God, or I should say the temple of God's presence now resides in his people, his church. That is what it means. Number two is a symbol for all peoples around the globe that this message of Jesus is for them. And the third symbol is of God's empowering presence in his followers to live and spread this good news. Peter represents this so well when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He stood up in front of crowds of people and he was able to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures tell us in the book of Acts that over 3,000 people came to faith that day as God empowered him to live that out and preach that out. And today, as we talk about this, we need to know and we need to understand that that wasn't just for people 2,000 years ago, but it's for us. It is for today. That this same Holy Spirit wants to come, wants to live in us. His presence wants to fill our lives. He wants to empower us to live for him. He wants to empower us to share his gospel with others. Noah, if you could come up as we prepare to pray. As I was thinking about this week, you know, within the church, we talk about the subject somewhat regularly. On the day of Pentecost, this pops up. And sometimes we're sitting maybe in a pew or in a chair like you are today. And this sounds good. But when you go out from here, sometimes there's a bit of a struggle to know, how do I go about doing this? And I wanted to share this quickly with you. This is a whole message in and of itself, but I'm going to share this with you, this idea of the blessed lifestyle. If you could put that up there on the screen. The blessed lifestyle, it's an acronym, obviously, to how we can live, and it starts with beginning with prayer. Who in your life, who do you know that you could be praying for every single day? God puts people in all of our lives, family members, friends, neighbors. He's placed in our lives, and sometimes we're not totally sure, how do I go about bringing the gospel to them? And I would say begin with prayer. Is there some people, whether it's 2 or 3 or 5 or whatever it is, that you could literally write their name down and pray for them every single day? Pray that God would bless them. Pray that God would reveal himself to them. The next has to do with building relationship with people and listening to them. You know, we have the greatest message in the world to be able to give people, but until we're willing to actually listen to people, most of the time they're not willing to listen to us. It starts with us listening with care to others, building that relationship. Eating together. You know, Jesus, when he traveled and he spent time with people, as he built relationship with them and built trust, he ate with them. It was actually, in the ancient world, one of the ways that they built very deep relationships. So he calls Matthew, this tax collector, and the very next day, or the next time you read about Matthew, he's eating a dinner with Matthew. he comes across Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, I'm kind of coming to your house. Let's hang out. See, pray for people. You listen to them. You eat with them. You serve them. You need to serve people. Jesus served people. He calls his disciples to serve people. And that can look so many different ways. But showing the love of God to people in a way that makes sense to them. This isn't linear necessarily, but these are things that are part of living out this call to bring the message to people. Because notice number five, it's kind of the last thing, it's share the story. And that looks like sharing your story. What has Jesus done in your life? How has he impacted you? Why are you a follower of Jesus? Share your story. And also share, the most important, share the story of Jesus. Begin with prayer. Listen. Eat with people. Serve them in love. Share the story. Why don't you stand with me? Spend a moment in prayer. We've spent some time praying for people around the world that they would know and learn of Jesus. How about we pray for us right now? Would you open up your hands as an act of openness to God, as an act of surrender to him? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill us? Us out in the same way that you are sent, but in so many ways we can't do it on our own. We need you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill your people with your Holy Spirit. May they experience your presence. May they experience your empowerment in their lives. May they experience your freedom and your forgiveness and your grace. So that as they go out from here, that they'd be able to live it out. They'd be able to live it out in front of people. God, they'd be able to love like you love. They'd be able to serve like you serve. And they'd be able to share with words the goodness of God to others. Lord, I pray that we would take your mission. And it wouldn't be something that is a heavy load upon us, but we invite you to come alongside of us, that we'd be able to walk with you, that we'd be able to live that out every single day. And God, may the what was important to you, may that become the most important to us. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As you fill us, may we lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Jesus, would you give us words of prophecy to speak out over people? Words of knowledge, words of encouragement. Would you empower us to serve? Would you empower us to encourage? God, may you fill us with other languages. May we speak in other tongues as they did in the book of Acts. God, may we see people give words in other languages and interpretation, like we see written about in 1 Corinthians. Fill us, Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are free to go, but I would encourage you this. Would you spend some time with the Holy Spirit, even now? If you'd like someone to pray for you, I'd like to invite the prayer team forward. If you'd like someone to pray over you and pray the anointing and the empowerment and the filling of the Holy Spirit, would you not leave today? Would you come forward and receive prayer? We'd love to be able to pray for you. If some of the prayer team members could come forward. This is a day of Pentecost where we believe in the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. May we seek after that with all of our hearts. Have an awesome Sunday. Thank you so much for being with us today.